Hey friends, we are marching forward with Identity Server here on a Microsoft Virtual Academy. We successfully logged in.
That was awesome. It was good.
That was good. But we didn't log out.
No, we didn't log out. Let's actually show what we have here. So we have login. Mm-hmm. Right? We go and log our user in, Bob, and Bob comes back.
Yeah.
And we have Bob. That's great.
Right.
But right now our logout button doesn't do anything.
Okay.
And again, much like the one that we had before, if I go back to my MVC app here, right now, logout doesn't do anything.
Well, ordinarily, when I'm logging out, like, I just delete all my cookies.
Right, and yeah, I mean, think about that. That's exactly what we're going to have to do.
Okay.
Right? Now, I got a question for you. Mm. How many cookies do you think we have?
Two.
Two? And why did you say two? Because that's actually the right answer.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because you put a thing in startup.cs that was like cookie authentication thingy.
Where?
In /startup.cs and configure services?
In which app though?
In the MVC app.
In the MVC app, we did, absolutely. So the MVC app, like I said, when the user comes in through OpenID Connect, once that handshake is done,
right,
then we issue a local cookie at the MVC app.
Right, so, and you said sign-in scheme, which is really
which
the
is using this
line 37s. Yeah. And that's the cookie that ASP.NET created. I haven't even seen that. It looks like we should probably look at it in
F12. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So we do, if I hit F12 here, we can go look at that guy under application.
Okay.
We go to cookies, we go here, and we have this cookie. Okay?
That the standard ASP.NET.
That's the one that MVC issued.
And it's named .cookies because you called it cookies.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, because we're running both on localhost, this is actually leaking a little of information. It's kind of going to help you answer the other question, which is we do have another cookie. Okay? That cookie comes from, what do you think?
From the identity server.
From identity server
so
itself.
So if they were on different domains, then it would have it wouldn't appear in the list.
It wouldn't
like
appear
this.
Here, but you would still have the two cookies.
That's a good point.
Now the really important thing about that cookie at identity server is that's the magic behind single sign-on.
Oh, that's a good point. So if I went to MVC application B, a totally different application.
The second app.
And I'm already logged in, I would expect that it would bounce over and bounce right back.
Yes.
It'd be like, I'm already there.
And so we can actually show that.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go actually show that real quick. So what I'm going to do is to sign you out of the MVC app, there's actually a method very similar to this one called...
Oh, I know what you're going to do. You'll remove my MVC application so the app will think it's signed out. Then when I hit sign in, I will remain signed in to the security token server, so it'll bounce me there and I'll...
Exactly.
It'll just work.
Yep.
And we've seen that when we log into Twitter, we log into Facebook or Google, and then an hour or two later, another app wants that. We do a little dance, and we log in.
And you just come right back in. Exactly. So if I rerun this.
Oh, I'm starting to realize the challenge. My MVC app can't delete cookies from another domain. It's going to have to request that someone delete them on its behalf.
Exactly. So we'll do that here in a second. So signed in.
Okay.
So right now when I do log out,
given
the way that I just wrote this code, is I triggered sign out. It's very much like challenge, but kind of the opposite, right? And it is specifically right now just talking to the cookie middleware in the MVC app.
Okay, so by putting cookies there, it's implying clear out those cookies, delete those cookies.
It's deleting, it's telling that particular security middleware to clean up, whatever that means. For cookies, it means get rid of your cookie.
Cool.
Okay? So yes, when I click this, log out, great. Oh, look what I forgot to do.
Redirect.
Okay, yeah, I should have done a redirect.
Well, you did.
Oh, I do have a redirect URI. I think there's a little bit of a snafu here for what I'm doing.
Little race condition there?
No. I'd have to think about what this is doing under the covers. Let me show it the long way, because I know that definitely works, which is unfortunately a little bit more. Okay. So there's a slightly different version of this, which is you could do await HTTP context dot authentication dot sign out.
Aren't you not supposed to be poking around inside of HTTP context?
Well, the HTTP context exposes this property called authentication.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the authentication manager, and it's what allows your app to coordinate and talk to the security middleware.
Okay.
So that's actually by design.
That is okay to
do
that.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know.
So I'm going to sign out of cookies here.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm going to do a redirect back to, you know, the homepage, for example, which is the one up there. Okay. So I'm going to bring the syntax back in a minute. Off the top of my head, I'm actually not sure what's happening under there. So so let's run this and see if this guy works.
Okay.
Okay. So we are log in.
Okay. Yeah.
So actually, did you notice what just happened?
Yeah. Bounce, and then it was logged in.
Yeah. I wasn't even prompted.
That's because you deleted your cookies cookie, but not your OIDC cookie.
app you can't from because, the token server.
Because the token server issued that one.
Exactly.
And while you might be able to think you get it to work because you're both on local hosts, it won't work in production.
Right.
It can't
so
work.
The protocol's designed for those things to be running on different domains or, you know, can run on different domains.
Right. Well.
So that's exactly the problem that you were foreseeing is that when I need to sign out everywhere, I need to send my user back over to the token
server. Well, okay. I'm imagining that someone who hadn't read the spec, who hadn't thought about it, who hadn't spent time with us here on Virtual Academy, would hack something together to delete all their localhost cookies and then freak out when it didn't work in production.
Right. And you obviously don't want to do that.
No.
So that's why there are specifications for this. There's actually a sign-out specification as part of the suite of specs.
Cool.
Okay, so logout right now is just getting rid of my local cookie. And again, if we click this, we just pop over. It was actually pretty quick. But
that's
everything's
cool.
Local. But yeah, we quickly went over to a token server, and it immediately returned us. So logout, you usually don't just want to log out of the app.
No.
You want to log out of both, okay? So that's why I'm going to put the other syntax back because I actually prefer it.
Yeah, I'm starting to think this is more complicated than we realize. I know when I've tried to log out of larger systems like, Windows Live ID, and it goes and it says logging you out of, and then it gives you a list of all of these different clients that it's logging out.
Absolutely.
Of. It can take
some
time.
So the joke in the identity space is that signing out is harder than signing in.
Wow.
Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to list that I want to trigger both middlewares to sign out, okay?
Ah.
So what I'm going to do is sign out of cookies for within the app, and I also want to trigger sign out of the OpenID Connect thing, which basically is this guy, which means we're going to have to send the user over there somewhere to sign out.
Is there a well-known place that it'll just know how to go there?
That's a good question. So if we go back to the discovery document that we talked about before, check it out. There's another well-known endpoint called the end session endpoint.
Okay, cool.
And so that's the endpoint that is implementing the sign out specification that I mentioned a few seconds ago.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right. So if I rerun that and I rerun, do I have identity server running? It is. Okay. So we're going to go log in now. Bob and Bob. Okay, we're signed in.
Okay.
Now when I trigger logout, hopefully, look where we are now.
Okay, so it's bounced us over there, and we are sitting on logout.
So we're now actually back over on 5000, which was identity server.
And they're giving us a second chance.
Okay. So the
I
reason...
I see there's no there.
So they are giving us a second chance, and the reason for that is if you think about this discovery document that I talked about in this end session endpoint, it's a well-known endpoint. Okay? So what that means is imagine your competitor puts a hidden iframe to this end session endpoint of your company's token server.
That would be super mean.
Okay, so what would happen is your users are using your website and they happen to go look at your competitor's website and they are denial of servicing your users if this automatically logged the user out.
Oh, wow.
So
which means that anyone could log us out of Twitter or Facebook and really just wreak havoc.
So that's why on the sign out page, we need to make sure that the user is really intending to do this.
Okay.
Okay? So we can hit yes, and now we're logged out.
Are we really?
We don't have our cookies anymore. So if I go to the cookies, they're gone.
All right. Okay. And this is just an anti-forgery cookie.
This is an anti-forgery cookie from the MVC
unrelated.
App, which is, you kind of get that for free.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, there are a couple things about this. Is a lot of times people complain, I don't like the prompt. Okay?
Yeah, I can see that.
And my user now is dead on the token server, and they have like no easy way to get back to the app.
Yeah, I'd want the token server to redirect them.
Right.
But then do I make them click again?
Right. So here's the trick, is that to remove the prompt, what we need to do is, because we don't want this denial of service style of attack, so we need to, in essence, authenticate the request to sign out. Okay? So that sounds so bizarre, right? But the idea is that
it doesn't. You're right. I want to make sure that it's a claim. I want to know, do you have the rights to be logging someone out?
In a sense,
are you really you?
I want to make sure that the request to sign out came from the legitimate MVC app that we had previously logged the user into.
And not just some random get.
Not just some random competitor's website.
Right. And from a RESTful perspective, you don't typically want to take major actions on a get.
That as well. Yes, absolutely. So what we need, and what the protocol allows us to do this with, is we need the MVC app to pass something to that sign out request that proves that we had previously were the app that received the login.
Right, something verifiable.
Something verifiable. Do we have anything in this protocol that's verifiable that we talked about?
Well, we have all the claims of the scopes that we pulled from before.
But if you just put that pass those as query string parameters, would those be verifiable?
I remember seeing a nonce go by, but I don't know.
Yeah, but that was a random number. Okay. And that it's a...
Then I'm at a loss.
No. Well, what did our MVC app receive in the first place to prove that the identity of the user was Bob?
The initial token? The
yes,
JWT?
The identity token.
Okay, so we just return it back.
So what we're going to do is at sign-out time, pass it back.
Because we've been hanging on to this whole time.
Actually, we haven't been hanging on to it.
Oh, we didn't. Okay? We received it, but we never put it anywhere.
Yeah, what we did is we took the ID, or what the middleware did, is it took the ID token and converted the read all the claims and put those into the cookie, but it threw away the ID token. So what we want to do is save the ID token.
Are we saving it in a cookie?
Okay. So, yeah, it has to put it somewhere, and the only real state management location that we have so far here is in the cookie.
Are we in danger to having 2, 3, 4K of cookies?
You are absolutely in danger of that. Okay, so...
That would have been bad in the 90s. Is that bad today?
No, it's still bad today.
Okay.
Mobile browsers are notoriously aggressive about not allowing cookies usually more than 4K.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, yeah, they're pretty... it's a serious problem, you know, for your app. So in so what's going to happen is this original ID token will be now stored in the cookie. Okay? It's actually not stored as claims. There's like this dictionary that also lives in the cookie. And my view that I showed you earlier where I was showing you the claims, I'm actually programmatically reaching in and saying, oh, hey, do you have that ID token? So there's actually an API that you can query to say, give me back the ID token. And so I'm showing it here in the UI if we have one. But yes, the cookie size is a concern. So the authentication, the cookie authentication middleware has a an extensibility point where you can take over ownership of the storage. So in other words, what goes into the cookie is just like a GUID, right? And then, you know, something something small.
Sure.
And then you implement some server-side storage where you put all that other data.
Redis, SQL Server, God forbid, sessions, whatever.
So that's, and we're not going to do that here, so I don't think we're going to hit the limit of our cookie size, but this will be good enough to
When you
to
say
show.
It's a concern, this is one of those things that I deal with it if I'm dealing with maybe perhaps older Android phones and I'm starting to notice that this is a problem in my testing, then I would implement an interface to deal with this.
Exactly. So it's something you run into, then you'll, you know, or if you know about it ahead of time, you might proactively, you know, kind of address the problem.
Are we going to have an issue on our desktop browsers?
Depends. You could actually end up if you well with localhost, it's very easy to have lots of test apps and hit. And I believe around 16K. I don't remember exactly, but there's a certain limit where the web server will stop accepting because you have too many headers that are being sent.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so you might run into it. You have to take action at that point.
Okay.
Okay. So let's try this one more time. And when we log in. Okay, great. So we now have the ID token. So that's the original identity token that we had gotten back from the token server. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is at sign out time, the other complaint that I had mentioned is that we want to remove the prompt.
Right.
And now by including this token, when I trigger sign out, it will automatically pass the ID token for me.
So you set save token, which means that you're automatically going to serialize that and save it into a cookie. Where are you pulling that back out?
When I trigger OpenID Connect sign out,
oh,
the middleware
knows
already
it.
Knows how to do this.
That's
so
very
it does it for you.
That's very convenient.
So the other thing I want to do then is once the user has bypassed the prompt, I want to give the user a way to get back to my app. Okay. So there's also a way to do that. And that is done by configuring another configuration option in Identity Server. So what we have is the OpenID Connect middleware, or the OpenID Connect protocol, allows that when you trigger a sign out to the token server, you can pass along this thing called the post logout redirect URI, which is the URL where the user is allowed to come back to afterwards. So again, this is another thing that the middleware is already implementing for me. So sign-in callback. That's the hard-coded path.
All right.
Okay. So you have to teach Identity Server about a little bit more about your client's capabilities with that configuration option. Mm-hmm.
I suppose one could see a world where it knew that it was ASP.NET on the other side, and it knew that those were well-known locations.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you could always provide an abstraction on top of this mm-hmm. to pre-configure these for you because you know you're in this more closed system of all just MVC.
Now, you're hard-coding localhost, you know, colon, whatever. That can come out of configuration of your
own. Absolutely.
Cool.
Okay. Let's go back to my MVC app. Let's try it one more time. So we'll log in. So our user gets logged in, Bob and Bob. Okay. And then when we log out, oh no. We got an error. It didn't behave the way I expected it to.
Well, let's see.
So we're going to go check the error.
I saw invalid request.
Yeah, invalid request. I'm going to scroll up here and see if I can get anything more about this.
Looking for red.
Yeah, we are looking for red. And I don't think that's in here. So the invalid request, we go to the consent screen, identity server's logging out, sign in. End session. So here's the request that came in. Mm-hmm. The post logout redirect URI, localhost, sign out. Ah, you know what it? I have a typo. So identity server here is, we're getting all the logs about the request into identity server. Mm-hmm. And identity server, this is coming from the browser when we went
connect
to trigger.
Slash end session.
And so notice the post logout redirect URI, the middleware is actually passing sign out callback OIDC. And you know what I fat fingered? When I copied that
sign
setting.
In
yes.
callback.
So this needs to be sign out.
Which gets to the point that I now apparently presciently was teasing you about, was keeping track of those is challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to know.
Now, obviously, here with Identity Server, because you might be using a PHP client or a Java
Could
client, it needs
different.
To be all configurable.
And that's another really important reminder here, is that even though we're working on the Identity Server, and Identity Server is an ASP.NET Core application inside of a host, its clients could be from anywhere.
Because we're talking protocols.
Right, because you're non-denominational in your technology choice.
Okay, run this one more time. Okay, we'll start over, and hopefully if we've finally got this all lined up. We'll log in. Bob and Bob. Good. Now when we log out, there we go. Okay, so it bypassed the prompt, and now we give the user the ability to say, oh yeah, sure,
now
I'd like to go back to the application. You
don't want to avoid that last click, because you do want to let them know that they are logged out and leave them
so
in that state.
So that's typically good practice, right? You're going to let the user know, yep, everything's good, you're logged out. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could write some code around that to maybe dynamically detect that the page is fully loaded, and then once it's done, you can go back. But yeah, so there's some, you know, some options there.
Cool.
You.
So we've got login working, we've got log out working.
Yeah.
It'll log them out of all, if I log them, it'll log them out of all clients, right?
So it actually is not right now. Mm-hmm. That's actually one more step.
Ah.
Okay. So imagine if we do this, let's say we go back to our app over here, log in, Bob and Bob. Okay. So let's say the browser on the right, you're in app one.
Sure.
Okay. So the browser on the left, let's say we're in app two. And in app two, we trigger sign out.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to do the end session request, and I'm pretending I have a client over here, so I get prompted. Okay, yes, we're logged out. Over on the right, though, that would mean my cookie's gone, right?
Well, which cookie is gone?
Right, the cookie in the MVC, you know, MVC client
one. Your MVC cookies, that one,
right.
is still around. The one that says that you have a session, a live session.
Because right now, when you come to sign out, through a different path other than the MVC app, how is Identity Server pinging the other app?
That makes sense. And since this one already has the token that allows it to continue, it's issued by MVC app, while it may not have the OIDC one, it doesn't need it because it's not looking at it. Only the token server looks
at it. Yes, exactly. Once you did the initial handshake with the token server, you're kind of like done with it because you're just now dealing with your own cookie that you control.
So would you have to implement custom code identity server where it would enumerate all clients and request logouts from each of them?
So guess what? There's a specification for this.
So they thought of everything.
They've absolutely thought of that.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing about the spec is that the way that the STS can communicate back to all the different clients that the user's logged into. It mm-hmm. needs some way to do that in the context of the user's, you know, browser session.
Some brilliant use of web services I haven't thought of?
Yeah, well, not quite. So the spec is written a few years ago, and they've taken their prompt from actually some of the older security specs.
Okay.
So they use one of the hackiest technologies that the web has had for a while.
Uh-oh.
And?
Iframe?
An iframe, exactly.
Oh, man. Like multiple iframes, and then they like bounce from iframe to iframe?
They don't bounce from iframe, but they do multiples in parallel.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So
that's
I can show that to you.
Modern asynchronous.
Well, so the thing is, though, when the specs were written, they didn't want to take a dependency on things like AJAX calls because it would involve cores, and cores was still not quite well enough supported at the time.
And it sounds like even though we don't like iframes, they're not going anywhere.
No, and then they actually do work reasonably well.
Okay.
Okay.
So the iframe is where you go and inject in the logout request to all of the different involved parties.
As an app sends the user to sign in the token server, mm-hmm. the token server keeps track of its app 1 and app 2 and app 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the user then comes to the token server to sign out, it has remembered this. And for each one of those apps, it will render on the logged out page, it will render an iframe for each one.
Okay.
Okay. You have to then teach the token server about this iframe sign out URL. Okay. Fortunately, in the MVC app, the Microsoft middleware already handles it for you.
That's nice.
You just have to write the configuration.
I have to say that I am impressed somewhat, that the Microsoft middleware is providing it what you needed. Like I would have expected that there would need to be dependencies on identity server or custom stuff that you need to write. But because you've built a framework that can live in the secure token service,
mm-hmm.
and that the Microsoft people have embraced OIDC and the various specifications that they need to do, and have made a decent implementation of that, that you're really just pointing identity server to these things, and it's doing its job.
Yeah, no, it's...
You didn't have to work around anything.
It is working well, and again, that's, again, the benefit for the specs, right? You're leveraging those.
Cool.
Okay. So there's another property here called logout URI. This is intended to be the iframe endpoint,
mm-hmm.
and the Microsoft middleware implements that path.
Okay.
Okay? So we'll rerun identity server. Good. We'll rerun my MVC app. Good. And so over here in my MVC app, mm-hmm. we will trigger a sign-in. Okay, Bob and Bob. Good. Over here in identity server, we see that they're signed in. Here, we have Bob.
Nice.
Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the end session endpoint like we've mentioned. Okay, we'll log out of identity server. And now over in the right side, hopefully, if it all worked, I hit refresh, and look at that. No more cookie.
So there was hidden iframes in there.
Yeah, we can even take a look at it here if I run the...
So you didn't have a dependency on JavaScript?
Nope. This is the whole point. It's an
that
iframe.
That is the whole point.
Yeah. So when we look at the you are logged out page, if we drill down enough here...
There you go.
It actually is an iframe that contains the list of iframes.
Oh, wow.
But if we actually drill down, here it is. So here, then, mm-hmm. is that sign out IDC, OIDC, pointing to the MVC.
And then it passed in that token from before?
It actually passed. So again, this is also a well-known endpoint.
Right.
So you don't want attackers automating
question.
That.
Right, right.
So the way the spec authenticates to that endpoint is they pass what's called a session ID. So the session ID is a unique ID that the user is assigned at login time,
mm-hmm.
and the MVC app holds on to that. That was in the original ID token.
And without that, then hitting that is a no-op.
Exactly. You should reject it.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
They have thought of everything.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Let's sign out.
All right. Cool.
Okay. So the one last thing I wanted to show was enhancing the login process, and we'll do it very quickly here, but the idea is that the login page is where you get to customize this with however you want the user to log in.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're doing a simple username and password, which is, we call those local accounts, right? Those are local to your identity server, your token server.
Mm-hmm.
But you might want to support business partners who want to do authentication, your employees with Azure Active Directory, or social logins with Google.
Right.
Okay? So you can stick all of that within identity server.
Absolutely. Being able to log in with a local login or optionally a Google and combine
or
them
anything.
Is super
yeah.
useful.
Absolutely. So the way that works is because identity server is just an ASP.NET application,
mm-hmm.
Your ASP.NET application can simply be a OpenID Connect client to those upstream identity providers. Okay. So in other words, the same mechanism that we have the MVC app talk to identity server,
right?
Identity server can talk to something else.
And it's become a chain of trust?
It is a chain of trust, yes. Okay. So just real quick to show this here, what I'll do is in my identity server host, I fortunately have some pre-configured code here. So what I have is two examples of Google middleware and OpenID Connect. So what I'm going to add to my pipeline here is, let's see here, I'll pop these guys in.
That is a scary block of code.
This is...
Should I fear that block of code?
Well, this is the OpenID Connect middleware that we had talked about before.
Okay, so this is the built-in Microsoft use Google authentication.
So yes, I'm adding two middlewares because I want my users to be able to use Google or some business partner's identity system.
Anyone's generic OpenID Connect.
And so what I have here is for Google, we all understand how that works.
Right. Just to be clear, you went off into Google, you logged in, you set up an app, you brought in your client ID and your secret.
Exactly.
Okay.
And for the OpenID Connect, what we have is we actually have another copy of identity server hosted up in Azure for demonstration purposes.
I see. It's a hosted identity server where that is playing the role of
your business
partner. Third-party OpenID Connect business partner.
Exactly. So that's exactly. So it's, remember the authority property we said in our MVC app?
Right.
The authority here now is our demo identity server.
Okay, so we have our MVC application talking to a separate web application, which is our local instance of identity
which
server.
Which is your company's security token service.
The one that we built and we own.
Exactly.
It's RSTS.
Yes.
Has to be powered by identity server. And it can then chain its login and its web of trust to other partners that use OpenID Connect. We'll be using a hosted version of identity server, so a second identity server.
Exactly.
Or Google or Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
Exactly.
Very cool.
So if I have my canned configuration correct here, then what's going to happen is when my user...
The flexibility is starting to really shine at this point.
So I run my MVC app, I go log in, and now on my login page, your company's custom login code now is detecting that these are also options to pop in here, and then you give the user a choice, a chance to pick one of them.
How would you decide, for example, if a certain Google login is Bob, or that a certain Google login has abilities like Brock logged in and now he's an admin.
Right. So that's a very important architectural decision you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what you have is at your identity server, you have your database of all your users.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Including, you have a record for all your users, including the ones coming from Google and including the ones coming from maybe your business partner.
Mm.
So what's going to happen then is when you choose one of these external providers, they will send you back an ID token if they implement OpenID Connect.
Right.
It'll have that external system's unique ID for the user.
Right.
You have to then map that external system unique ID to your user's unique ID.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's all up to your login code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's code you do have to write. Okay, and you have to understand that there's some mechanics in doing that.
Sure.
Okay? Mainly, let's say Google gives you a unique ID for the user.
Sure. Usually your email.
Yeah. It's actually a random, big, long, random string.
Okay, I must be thinking of this wrong.
So Google gives you a unique, random, unique ID.
Okay.
But it's the same ID every time for
that
user.
Okay.
You don't want to take Google's ID and then issue it to your apps.
Right.
Okay.
You want to issue whatever you would have ordinarily issued.
Exactly. Let's say the user also had a username and password. You want to make sure that's the ID that you issue.
Right.
Okay. So what we're doing by putting all this logic of mapping the Google user to your user, we're putting this in our token server, you're abstracting all of your apps from that.
Okay.
Your apps don't have to deal with any of this stuff. They're just going to get a consistent, unique ID for your user.
Could you get into complicated kind of workflows where someone could say, I see that you just tried to log in with Google, you used your email, the same email as a local user, would you like to link these two?
Absolutely. And if that's...
And you have to write those.
Yes. If those are your requirements, then you can implement that logic.
Because I think we've all had that experience where we've, picked a social game or worked with a website where we logged in with our email before.
Mm-hmm.
One day we arrived and they had just implemented social login.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, oh, cool.
Right.
I'd much rather log in with Google. we log in with Google and it says, hey, I've detected.
Yes.
And we're always impressed by that. Right. That's from a user experience perspective, that's a really impressive experience.
Right, yeah.
That's now possible.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, you still have to write
the
code.
You have to write it.
And that's
totally understood.
If your requirements like want that to be a scenario,
sure.
Then implement them and you can do that.
Very yep. cool.
Okay, so one of these should work. I'll pick Google. I think I'm already logged into Google, so that should just immediately
right.
come
and
back.
Here's your consent.
And so now, so I already went to Google and immediately came back. Okay, because in
the, you're already
I'm already
into
logged
Google.
Into Google, and because I've done this demo a couple times, the consent I gave at Google to issue the identity to this identity server was already in their database.
So there would have been two consents. Google would have said this application is interested in you.
Yes.
And now the application is requesting it from identity server.
Exactly. Yep. But right. that's again if it's third all
sure.
third party.
But again, if you had removed the consent as we saw earlier in the in the academy that we could do that, you would have only seen the consent from Google, and then you would have come all the way through and been logged in.
Yes, exactly.
And there's your name at
and
the top.
And Google remembers that in the future, so that if you ever log in again, it doesn't bother prompting.
So then you could go over into your Google list of apps, revoke this app,
we could.
And you'd be all set.
Absolutely.
Yep. Very cool.
So Identity Server could also do the same thing. Part of Identity Server, if you do have consent, you know, you can do the remember consent here, and
right.
the same kind of database could exist at Identity Server to remember future logins don't have to get re-prompted for consent.
Okay. All right. That's cool. So we've got login, we've got log out, we've got really true log out of everywhere.
Yep.
We've got a chain of trust where we can go and have our identity server log into another identity server like a partner or log into social. We used Google in this example. We'll take a short break and we'll come back and then our MVC application will call a web API on that user's behalf. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Microsoft Virtual Academy.